Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, NFL football, so close, so close. Thursday, we will get back into the flow. Week one will begin. Yeah.
Apparently, we need to talk about Andy Dalton more.
I see that the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text line lit up with messages about Andy Dalton versus Derek Carr.
I didn't think it would get people so riled up with this one. I thought it was pretty fair.
Man, it's a funky Friday
reasonable
here.
Assessment. You know, and it is interesting because I kind of just guessed at the age difference. But, yeah, I think that's the biggest difference in terms of when you got them. Because whether you want to admit it or not, Andy Dalton has been a solid quarterback throughout his career. Did he have the peak season of Derek Carr? No, because Derek did have that really good season in 2016 where the team went 12-3, he completed 70% of his passes. He was actually third in the MVP voting that year. And I don't think a lot of people actually are kind of actively aware of that point. That team went to the playoffs. He couldn't play. They lost in the first round.
Well, I kind of was shocked when I saw the text. One of the texts saying that was Andy Dalton ever a MVP front runner? I'm like, Derek Carr was, and yeah, you said he finished third in the voting.
I can't recall exactly at what point you would have called him a front runner, but no, he was. I mean, you're talking about, like, I think people sleep on that season in terms of how good it actually was for Derek. So you're talking about, obviously, the team went 12-3 with him as a starter. He completed 63.8% of his passes. 3,938 yards, 28 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Obviously, he was shortchanged a game.
Right.
And they went, and that was the season that if you're going to win a playoff game, that would have been the one for him. Right. They made it to the playoffs again in 2021. 2021. That was actually the year the Saints lost to them at Allegiant Stadium, if you recall. And that team looked really good. That was the year that Gruden ended up losing that job. And they lost to the Bengals in the playoffs. That Bengals team went on to the Super Bowl. But to me, the biggest difference is you're getting Derek Carr at a point in his career where you should still feel like he has enough in the tank. Whereas I never felt that way about Andy. You got him at age 35.
He came here and said, "I'm the backup to Jameis."
Yeah,
and
he walked in and said, "I am here to back up Jameis." Like I still think that's funny. Like he didn't even say, "I'm going to compete." He was like, "Yeah, I'm here to serve." But no, so last year was Derek's age 32 season, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think that you're going to get to Derek's age 35 season here. And I think that's where Derek will go somewhere else and be a bridge,
right,
like Andy was in Chicago. For now, I think you do still feel like, hey, he's good enough to go win games. How many? I don't know. But you're talking about 9-8 is the baseline.
He needs help from the O-line, obviously.
And can you do better than 9-8? And that's the thing that frustrates me is, you're coming off a 9-8 season, and it can go either direction, right? If you go down, if you lose, then yeah, you blow things up and you figure out, okay, where do we go from here? But no one's even willing to wait to say, like, oh, what if you do win 10, 11 games? And I think people are actually worried that might happen. Like, there's a subset of people that would actually be annoyed if that happened because it would mean that you're not done with this. This is going to happen again. You're going to have more Derek Carr, more Dennis Allen, because at that point, you would say this has been successful. And it will drive me nuts to hear people try to justify the takes that they're having now with, like, fire him anyway, because that will happen. And I don't know. At some point, you just got to be a fan of the team, right?
Well, I know folks are going to be a fan of the new undrafted free agent that made the team. A big surprise for everyone. Mason Tipton ended up being on the initial 53-man roster. Caught up with him in the locker room the other day at Saints camp, and here's what the undrafted rookie had to say.
Just your thoughts on making the roster.
Blessed. I mean, you know, obviously missing 3 preseason games, it was tough on me. Just because I wanted to be out there and get back out there and play, especially for my teammates. But, you know, God is good, man. So, you know, really, I'm just blessed. I'm happy to be back, happy to be healthy. So, you know, now it's really time to go.
What does that say to you that you were able to miss the 3 preseason games about what you were able to put on film during practice?
Man, it says I'm blessed. I mean, I'm blessed, man. You know, I feel like it's kind of rare. So, you know, I can only thank God, man, because, you know, not being able to play, obviously, like I said, it was tough, but, you know, I'm back now. So
team goes a little bit deeper at receiver. What do you feel like you add to the receiving core?
Speed, explosiveness. You know, the last time I think I spoke, I think the biggest thing is that I'm not just a speed guy. I can run every route in the book. So, I just kind of add that aspect of explosiveness, downfield speed, but also, I can run every route.
What was Tuesday like for you, just kind of waiting around to figure out if you had made it?
Probably like you expect, but and I was praying. Yeah, I mean, it was a roller coaster of emotions, but, when I knew, what the deal was, obviously it was just, a lot of gratefulness, a lot of prayers.
How much of an exhale is it? I mean, you come in undrafted, rookie, you're trying to make a name for yourself, and it's an uphill battle, obviously, for you believe in yourself, but there's still a long road ahead.
No doubt. I mean, yeah, I understood the circumstances, but, I'm a confident person, and I feel like I bring something to the team that is a value. So, I was just committed to showing the staff, showing my teammates that I can help them win. That was like my first and foremost goal is proving it to everybody else.
Saints undrafted rookie Mason Tipton had to have made quite an impression on you guys when you were in training camp, just because the guy, he didn't even play in any preseason games and was still able to make this 53-man roster. Obviously, the Saints didn't want to let him clear to waivers or else they were worried about losing him to another squad, but it's pretty funny to me. The guy doesn't even see any action in a preseason game. Meanwhile, you have these, you hear about these battles and people fighting for jobs. Tipton didn't have to really go do that because what he showed in practice was enough for this team wanting to keep that talent around.
Yeah, I do wonder if, because I think he was in a position where he might have fought through and played in that preseason finale. And I do wonder, at some point I'll ask him, if he knew prior to that game that he was going to make the roster.
Were you safe, right?
Because, I think that's a situation where if you're on the fence, you're going to try to play, right? Like, even if you have a hamstring injury, you're going to see if you can fight through it and get out there. And I have to imagine if he felt like he was going to get cut, that would have been – because he was fighting to get back. And we'll see. Hopefully he's ready to go. I kind of feel like, we're going to talk about him a lot. I don't expect him to be active in week one. As long as you have Rashid and Olave healthy – I kind of see his skill set as a little redundant. Not that you don't want him around, but that in an average game week, what's he going to do? Where is he going to play? What is his purpose going to be? When you have to have five guys inactive, you're going to call people up, and maybe you have to have more guys inactive. So I think, to me, what Mason is a high-level replacement player for one of those two guys. If Olave right. has to miss a game, if Shahid has to miss a game, he needs to be ready to do what they do. He needs to understand what their roles are and be able to replicate that. Because I think he can. I think he can do very similar things to what they can do. And I think that's what this team saw. And the fact that he can kind of reflect what those guys do is what helped him, I think.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see him in action at all because I wasn't out there with the California practices. So just anxious to see what the kid brings to the table.
Yeah, well, that's the problem is I don't know if you're going to see much.
Right.
Right? Like, I think it's going to be a while. You might need an injury before you really get a featured role for him. But they like him, clearly. I mean, again, I go back to this. They cut Rashid. Rashid Shahid started on the practice squad. Now, was the wide receiver room a little deeper at that point? Probably.
Right.
But still, that's significant. And so it's good for him. He's a good kid. You got to root for him.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.